The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Ayin Dalad. Today's daf is being studied the Adon Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenihanu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Refuah Shlemah Yosef Ben Sarah and Sarah Bat Rachel. Enna Refan Adahim. Betoch Shar Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen. Today we begin on Ayin Gimon Amud Bet, 10 lines from the bottom. We are in the middle of the sugya, where we're holding by a machloket between Rav and Shmuel, based on the way Rabbah is explaining the machloket. And he said that it's a situation where, let's say, a person was mekadesh a lady al tenai. Al tenai means on the condition that she does not have nedarim. And then, let's say, was kones her stam. There's no machloket in that case, according to Rabbah. Everybody agrees. Tanai and the Kedushin, and then Kanas Stam. Everybody says that there is no need for a get. Why? Because he's basing himself on his original condition. His original condition was no nedarim, and therefore when he's Kones Stam, he still wants the original condition. Let's say we found out that she has nedarim on her. That's it. So therefore the condition was not fulfilled. Therefore there is no kedushin. Therefore, devra kol en sericha get. That's the way Rava understood that Rav and Shua are not arguing on that case. But he understood the argument in another case. Again, of one lady that has the status or has the mechanics of two ladies. Mm-hmm. What was that case? Where he makes a tenai. Amenat she'en alayich nedarim. And then he gets Kedushin, and then he gets divorced. And after he gets divorced, then he marries her again, the same lady, Setam. Oh, so the question is, Quanta Shemuel is going to say he's relying on his original condition, which is he revealed to us already he's not interested in the Darim, this guy. Yeah. So therefore, even though he was Konesa Stam the second time around, and she had the Darim on her, no good, not hal. Rav says, no. Listen, where he revealed. But now that he did it Stam, he wants to marry her now without nedarim. I mean, even with nedarim, he doesn't care. So therefore, the kiddushin is going to be house. That's what the machloket is. So now the Gemara is going to challenge a couple of challenges against the way Rabbah understood. Again, the main thing to understand when these challenges is the devrei kol case, which means in a case where he was kones, he was mekadesh al tenai, and then he was mekadesh setam. Rabbah holds devrei kol ena sericha get etibe. We have a question from a braita. Hareni bo alayich al menat shirse abba, which means a person makes a condition to a lady, and he comes along and says, "Hareni bo alayich," which means I'm going to be boel you l'shem kedushin, not relations l'shem kedushin, al menat shirse abba, on the condition that your father accepts. Even though the father did not accept in the end, mekudesh it. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda amen. Mishum Rabbi Shimon ratzav mekudesh it. Lo ratzav ena mekudesh it. So this rabbi says Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda depends. You got to follow his condition. If the father accepted, so the kedushin is a kedushin. If the father didn't accept, so the kedushin is not a kedushin. This case over is the ta'ut isha ahati, which is this case over here is similar to a case of one lady where he made a condition al tenai, and then it was kansas stam. What's this case over here? He would be kadesh on the condition of what? Amenat shetirse abba. Right? That was the condition that he made the condition. Then it was boila. The boila is boil stam. So it's a case of tenai followed by a stam. And you have a machloker amongst the rabbis. When you quote to your rabbi, you said everybody agrees in that case that it's not mikudit, that he's relying on his original condition. And his original condition over here was what? That amenat shetirse abba. And therefore, if the father doesn't agree, according to everybody, it should be no kiddushin. But here it says, nidei machloket. So comes the Gemara and says, upeligi, we have a machloket over here between the two rabbis. Kabbalah says, Hata, Be'akam Ipagel. No, you understand the Mahlok Rebbe differently. It's a different mechanics over it, different Mahlok. Mor Sabar Alminat Shirtzeh Av. When he made the condition, that he said, when he made the condition, on the condition that your father accepts, all he meant was, Alminat Shirtzeh Av. Which means all he is interested is that the father is not gonna verbally interfere or verbally reject. Mm-hmm. He's gonna keep quiet. Vashatikne. So the first rabbi says he kept quiet. So therefore, even though he's against it, but he kept quiet. Let's say he didn't verbally speak against it. So therefore, that's what it means when it says in the Braita, Lo Ratza Ha'av. Lo Ratza Ha'av means that he was shatak. Which means he didn't verbally say anything, so therefore he fulfilled this condition. So since he fulfilled this condition, of course everybody's going to say it's going to be a kiddushin. However, the other rabbi holds, Umar Sabar, Al-Minat Shiyomar Abba Hin. He holds that when the condition was made, that you'd say Abba means that your father has to say yes. Vado Amar Abba Hin. And the father did not say yes. So therefore, it's a machloket over here in what the pshat and the condition was. Which is when a guy comes along and says, Al-Minat Shiyirtse Abba. Does it mean Yirtze Abba that he's shotek, which means that he kept quiet, that he didn't say anything? Or Amenach Yirtze Abba means that he's got to say, yes, I accept. So therefore, that's why you have the machla, which is really everybody can hold that what? When you make a condition and you're boil setam, everybody's going to say it's no kiddushin over here. But over here, the question is, how do you fulfill the condition? Right, and that's why when Rabbi Shimon came along and said, Ratza av mikudeshet, right, at the end, Ratza av mikudeshet, lo ratza av ena mikudeshet, so he's understanding because the father actually has to say, yes. And if the father kept quiet, that's not going to be enough. But the first shita, so even if the father kept quiet, it's after the condition was, everybody says the condition has to be met. The question is, what is the condition? And that's the machloket. Comes again, it's another question. Etibe modim hachamim. Okay, it's from the Gemara in Yebamot. We're discussing over a case of Yibum. Everybody agrees in the following case. Okay, you have a case where a ketana, father married her off. Father marries off a ketana, kedushin d'oraita. Father, not the brother or the mother or the brother. So when a father marries off a ketana, so it's kedushin d'oraita, and then she gets divorced. So the Gemara says, v'hi yitoma b'haya av. So we learned that she could be considered an orphan even though her father is still alive. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? We learned that the father gets one shot, which means once the father marries off his daughter, and now she gets divorced, so she leaves the father's jurisdiction. So she's considered like an orphan, even though her father is still alive. Oh, so now what happened? V'hazira. Now the husband took her back when she's a ketana. Now, these kiddushin are only drabanan. When the father married her off the first time, it was deoraita. But when now she gets divorced, she's still a ketana. The father cannot marry her off anymore. So there's no kiddushin deoraita. He's just taking her back. So it's going to be a kiddushin with the banan. So what's the deen? V'azira. And then what happened? He died without children. Shecholetzet ve'lo mityabemet. She makes a halitza. And she does not make yibum. Why? V'pnei shegirusheha girushin gimurim. V'en hazara, hazara gimura. Her original girushin is girushin deoraita. And therefore, this brother that the Yavam will call him, he cannot make yibum because it's considered girushat ach. This is considered the divorcee of your brother. The divorcee of your brother is asur. Mm. So therefore, since the first girushin was girushin deoraita, right? At that point, when she got divorced, the Yavam is forbidden to her deoraita because it's girushat ach. Now, even though the second kiddushin is midrabanan, so only midrabanan, so you have a deoraita against a midrabanan. So therefore, it's going to say, "Wa miptish girusheha girushin gimurin." The en hazarata hazara gimura. The second kiddushin was only to face midrabanan, so therefore she doesn't fall to yibum. Only midrabanan. Min haTorah she's considered. It's considered girushat achiv, and therefore she's asuralo. Bamed v'ri mamurim. The Gemara explains that. When is this said? She girusha kishehi ketana. V'azira kishehi ketana. That's right. When the guy remarried her, when she's a ketana, so it's only midrabanan. Aval girsha kishehi ketana. If he got divorced on the first time when she was a ketana, v'azira kishehi gedola, But he exactly when he took her back, she was a gedola, which means now it's kiddushin gemurim. Oh, she azidak, she ketana. Or he took her back when she's a ketana. Whoever vegadla, it's law, but she became an adult next to him. So now when the guy has a bi'ah with her, so therefore it's l'shem kiddushin deoraita umet. And now he dies. So ochol etzit or betyabemet, because now already she's falling to yibum min haTorah. So now comes the Gemara and says, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Amru. That's Tarakama's opinion. Rabbi Eliezer comes along and says, chol etzit velo mityabemet. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer is a separate shitah masechet Yibamot that says once a girl. Got divorced, gedola, and then got remarried over here, so you don't make a yibum. But let's go with the Tanakh Kama's opinion. So the Gemara says, the ta'ut isha ahati upeligi, which in this case is similar to one woman, which is one woman over here. And what's the case over here? When she became he remarried her when she was a ketana. So the kiddushin at that point is only midrabanan.
Okay.
Right? And then what? She became a gedola, and he had relations with her. Mm. Right? So we're saying what? According to one opinion, when he has the relations, he's having a new relation, which means l'shem kiddushin. Therefore, it's kiddushin deoraita. Therefore, the marriage is considered a marriage. Nafka mina. If he dies, she's going to fall to yibum. Because deoraita, now she falls to yibum. So what do you see? That there's a shitaya that's holding that you don't rely on the original condition, which is the original condition she got married, which was a ketana. So therefore, we say when he makes the bi'ah, when she's a ketana, it's a new bi'ah. It's a bi'ah l'shem kedushin. He's not relying on the kedushin that he made when she was a ketana, because if he's just relying on that kedushin, nothing changes. She's still considered a banan. He has to have kavanah for a new kedushin. When he married her, when she's a ketana, he remarried her. Yeah, she's a ketana. What's the status of that kedushin? The only way you could turn that into a deoraita in that case is what? When she becomes a gedola, it's not automatic. You have to have another bi'ah. When she's a gedola, l'shem kedushin. If he doesn't have another bi'ah l'shem kedushin, it stays drabanan. But what are we saying over here? If he had a bi'ah with her, after she became a gedola, and then he dies, kedushin is deoraita. Therefore, she falls to yibum mit deoraita. Oh, what do you mean? That's similar to a case of we had a tenai and then kansa stam. And we said over the court to everybody, it's nothing. And over here we're saying, according to Tanakama, at least, you see, it's kedushin is a kedushin. She was saying the guy does have kavana. So why don't you say the same thing about the Tanai case? Where the guy did the Shem Nidarim, no Nidarim, and then Katsastam, why don't you say he's forgetting his original condition and he's doing it a new kedushin? You don't say that. So you see, it's a stida. So comes the Gemara and says, huh? Yes, yeah, but Tana Kama and Rabbi Eliezer. But according to Rashi, the main question over here is Alibad the Tana Kama, because
Rabbi, huh? He's saying it's good.
Right, Rabbi Eliezer says Tana Kama says the kiddushin is a good kiddushin deoraita. What do you mean? What do you mean? I thought we said that's a Devarah Kol that says everybody says it's not a kiddushin deoraita. So comes Gemara and says Hatam Name over there also. The argument over there is more sabar adam yodeya she'en kedushe ketana kelum gamar uba'al l'shem kedushin umor sabar en adam yodeya she'en kedushe ketana kelum v'chi kaba'al adata de kedushin lishonim kaba'al. So the machloket over here is like this. By ketana, everybody knows, according to at least one opinion, Adam Yodaya, guy knows that the kiddushin of a ketana was nothing. He knows that law. So when he married her, when she was a ketana, he knows where he's holding. So therefore, when he's going to go with her again, which is a gedola, for sure he wants an upgrade. He wants to make it the kiddushin. Don't like that. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, is going to hold, in Adam Yodaya, sheik kiddushin ketana kelum. He doesn't know the laws so well. He married her. At this point, he's going to make a bi'ah with her, which is a gedola. He's relying on the original kiddushin, which means in this case over here, you can lend itself to a machlok. Does the guy know or does the guy know? But when the guy makes a nedir or when the guy makes a tenai, there's no doubt. He knows what he's doing. He's coming and says, "I'm marrying you. I'm not. You don't have nedarim." That's what he wants. He's in control. I mean, he knows exactly what he wants. And therefore, when he was boil a stam, he's relying on his original condition. And when she ends up having the darim on her, it's going to be taut. And therefore, it's not going to be a kiddushin. She's here. You can argue. Here you can come along and say, listen, does a guy know the status or when he marries a ketana? So the first shita is going to say, yeah, when he marries a ketana, he knows it's only the Rabbanan. He doesn't want to be married to the Rabbanan, he wants to be married to Oraita. So if when he has a biyah, which is gedola, I'll say, it's a new kavana. He didn't know, he doesn't know. When he doesn't know all the laws of Kiddushin, he married her when she's a ketana, he thinks she's married. So then when he's always relying on the original Kiddushin. But according to the case of the Tanai, where he's saying, I'm marrying you, I'm not, you don't have the darim. He's always relying on that because he doesn't want to have the darim. Yeah. And therefore, even when he's konesa stam, it goes back to the original one, and therefore, the kiddushin is not going to be hal. That's the simple way of learning this gemara based on the girsa that we have, making the mahloket between Tanakama and the Bili Ezer like we made it. Even though there's a different text, but based on the text we have over here, because there's a gemara that says in the Yibavot that according to Rabbi Eliezer, where he's saying that the kiddushin is Rabbi Eliezer's shita is choletzet velo bit yabemet, it's mashma choletzet velo bit yabemet in all cases, even by, let's say, a gedola. Well, let's say he married her when she was a gedola. She was a ketana, got divorced. He remarried her when she's a gedola. In that case, she's a gedola. Doraita, according to everybody. Still, Rabbi Eliezer holds in that case choletzet velo bit yabemet. So he has a different way of understanding this whole subject here. So therefore, someone has said that this Gemara is arguing on the Gemara in Yibamot, because it's much of this Gemara over here that no, when she's a Kitanan and she becomes a Gedola, that's a problem over there because she doesn't upgrade his thing. But if she was a Gedola, it was Mashma, it'll be okay. So therefore, you have to say this Gemara is arguing on the Gemara over there in Yibamot. It's a different way of understanding the Mahlok. In any event, that's the way we answer this question as well. Comes the Gemara and says, Itmar Nameh, we have a statement. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Amar Rav Yohanan, HaMekadesh Al Tenai. Exactly our case. Guys, Mekadesh Al Lady Al Tenai, which means that you don't have the Darim. Ubaal. Tevri Akol, Ena Sirikai Menuget. Good, so we have Rav Acha bar Yaakov agreeing with Rabah. That what? Tenai? Stam? Nothing. No Kedushin. So comes and goes, Etive Rav Acha bered Rav Ika bar Achate. So Rav Acha bered Rav Ika, the nephew of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, asked the question against his uncle. And he comes along and says like this, it's a Tosefton Masechet Yibamot. Halitza mut'et keshera. We had this case. That's a halitza that's done like on a false premise. Halitza mut'et. The guy made a halitza on a lady, but it was like a mistake. He was tricked, we should say. So the Gemara says, halitza mut'et keshera. Gemara asks, Ezohi Halitza Mut'et. What's the case of Halitza Mut'et? What do you mean? He was under a false pretense. What happened over there? So Amar Esh Takish, Kol She'omer Lo, Halotzla, Ubekach Atak Konsa. Which means the guy was fooled. He wants to make a Yibum, this guy. Right? And we don't want the guy to make a Yibum with this lady over there for whatever reason. So we try to talk him out of it. He doesn't want to get talked out of it. So we tell him, you know what? Make this Halitza. And by making the Halitza, it's considered as if you're marrying her. So the guy's all excited. He makes a halitza. After he makes a halitza, he tells him, okay, listen, halitza, get out of here. She's a suit to you. So that's considered a halitza mut'et. That's the way the Shtakish understands halitza mut'et. Mm-hmm. So comes the Gemara and said, Amar Rabbi Yohanan said, no, it can't be. Shone, he learned, Ari Shone, Ben Shinit Kavenhu, Velonit Kavnahi, Ben Shinit Kavnahi, Velonit Kavenhu, Halitzata Pesula, Achit Kavenu Shinehim. Rabbi Yohanan says, listen, for a halitza to work, both have to have kavanah that the halitza is breaking the relationship. If one doesn't know that, doesn't work. And you're going to tell me now that you can fool the guy and tell him that Rabbi Yohanan says the contrary. But both of them have to have kavanah that the halitza is a break. Also, we're back to the question. According to Rabbi Yohanan, what's considered halitza mut'ayet? So Gemara says, "V'at amat halitza kashera," and the Shakish is saying, "Halitza kashera." You have to have kavanah on both sides. Ela Amar Rabbi Yohanan, "Kol she'omer lo halotz al halotz la amenat she'teten lecha matayim zuz." He goes, "Make a halitza, we'll give you 200 zuz." Oh, so the guy's got a monetary tenai over there, right? So he makes the halitza. So the deen is, and what? Even though at the end they didn't give him the 200 zuz, the halitza is kishera. You don't got to worry about the tenai. Halitza mutayet. We want to give him an incentive to make the halitza. No, we'll give you 200 zuz. He does it. Where's my 200 zuz? You're not getting the 200 zuz. But still, the halitza is considered. I don't think the condition breaks the ma'aseh. The ma'aseh is a ma'aseh, even though the condition was not met, and even though they made a conditional chalitza. Alma. So what's the logic? Kevan de'avad ma'aseh. What's the mechanics? How is this working? Bottom line, he did a ma'aseh, did the chalitza. Achule achale litna'e. Which means, at the time that he did the chalitza, he didn't specifically stipulate aminat that I get to 200. They told us in the beginning, listen, we're going to give it 200. Good. When he did the halitza, he didn't say anything. So this is like a case of a tenai they made in the beginning, and then he did it, stam. And what are you seeing over here? That the action is considered kayam. Also, back to the question over there. By the case of tenai, no nidarim, and then he's going to stam, kevan de ba'al, let's look at it. What? That is mohel the original tonight. Therefore, we should say the kedushin should be a kedushin. Why are you telling me Rav Habarika? Why are you telling me that what? According to everybody, the kedushin is not a kedushin. The chayora, based on the sevara that works by the Yohanan's case of the halitza mutaet, it should be what? We say that the maaseh is kayam. Why? Because we say hey, he just forgot about it tonight. He don't care about the original tonight. So comes Gemara says Amar Le. So Rav Habar Yaakov tells his nephew. Bar Berav meaning Ben Yeshiva. Shapir Kamart, which means, did you say good? Which means, is that the reason of Rabbi Yohanan? You're speaking this into Rabbi Yohanan and you're making a question. Is that the reason of Rabbi Yohanan? Mechti. Let's analyze. It's not the reason of Rabbi Yohanan. Kol Tenai Mehecha Gamlinan. The laws of conditions, that you can make a condition on an item. Where do we learn the laws of conditions? The conditions are learned from Mitnai b'nei gad u'bnei reuben. That's the famous condition we see in the Torah when b'nei gad and b'nei reuben, they wanted to live on the other side of the Jordan River. So Moshe Rabbeinu went and he made them make a condition, made them make a stipulation. What's the stipulation? If b'nei gad and b'nei reuben are going to go fight with us in the war, you know, going to be the vanguards during the war, so then already we're going to give them Eretz Yaglad. And if they're not going to, so then they have to come with us and live in Eretz Canaan. That's the source that you could make conditions, which means if Bnei Gad does not go into fight, what's the deen? Then already they have to go into Eretz, which means they're those are conditions. So all conditions have to model Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuben. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the one of the things that we learned from there? Tena'a de'efshar de'kayume al yedei shaliach ki ha'atam havi tena'e tena'a. Lo efshar de'kayume al yedei shaliach ki ha'atam lo avi. Which means like this: any condition that can be fulfilled through a messenger, items that can be fulfilled through a messenger, those items or those cases could be subject to conditions. But if you have a situation that you cannot do through a proxy, conditions don't work over there either. For example, by the case of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and says, if you don't go into fight, so then you're going to get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. You cannot stay on the other side of the Jordan, right? Mm-hmm. Now, obviously Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be dead by that time when we go into Eretz Yisrael. So who's going to have to execute this situation? Yoshua ben Nun. So therefore, this is a type of situation that the one that made the condition, Moshe Rabbeinu with them, he can now have it through a shaliach. A shaliach can execute the situation, like it was executed by shaliach. Yeah. So we have a rule. It's got to have that same mechanics that Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven had. Tanai. If a tanai can be done ayedei shaliach, then already the tanai is valid. Masha'en ken a halitza. Can a halitza be done ayedei tanai? I'm sorry, not ayedei tanai. Ayedei shaliach? No, which means when a husband makes a chalitza, he cannot tell, you know what, I'm busy, tell his agent, let me go make chalitza for my for the yibama. It's got to be done himself. And since you cannot do it al yedesh, wait, since you can't do it al yedesh shaliyah, so therefore the laws of tonight don't work. Meaning, what does it mean the laws of tonight don't work? Doesn't matter. When you're going to put a tanai on a chalitza, even if the tanai was not fulfilled, doesn't matter. The tanai is worthless. The tanai cannot jeopardize the actual ma'aseh. That's the reason of Rabbi Yohanan. Which is Rabbi Yohanan said, Halitza mut'et, was talking about when a guy came along and said, we're going to give you 200 zoos. Oh, so they put a tanai there. So he thought originally, what's the pshat in that? It's like a case of tanai, and then he made the halitza stam. Mm-hmm. So he understood that what he was mohel's original condition. So we want to ask a question by the case of regular tonight by non-Nedarim, and then he was going to ask them. It was not the pshat of it. The pshat, why? the halitza is a halitza even though the condition was not fulfilled, because conditions don't work on items that you cannot put a shilichut. Now, just to understand the sevara, what's the pshat? What's the logic in that? How does that work? Just because you do the shaliach, so you can make a tenai. So the Tosafot says a sevara over here that an item that you're able to give over the strength of the action to a shaliach. So therefore, it shows you have a power in this over here. So so the shaliach is also like a condition that it can be done by somebody else. So therefore, you have rights to also add stipulations that I want it to happen. This condition, not that condition. But if you don't have rights to give it over to a shaliach, you see it's limited in your power. So therefore, you cannot add to Naim as well, which means it's more liberal when I can give it over to a shaliach, which means I have more flexibility. So just like you have flexibility to let a shaliach execute it for you, so that if I can add the conditions as well, I have more power. If I can't give it to a shaliach, so my power is limited, I cannot use it to make it tonight as well. Also, the Gemara asks the obvious question. Which means we learned in Masechet Kiddushin. Actually, we learned it just a second ago, where the guy tells the husband, a guy tells the wife, "Hareni bo'alayich." Right? I'm going to make the Kiddushin al menat shiritzav, on the condition that your father accepts. Right? So he's making a condition, and we said you got to deal with that condition. What do you mean? Why? How can it be a condition? Bi'ah, you cannot make ayid shaliach. But a guy cannot go tell his shaliach, do if you ever go make bi'ah to a lady, you l'shem kiddushin for me. Doesn't work that way. Bi'ah, there's no shali'im. But we still said you can make a condition. So comes again what I said. Hata mishum de itkush havayot lahadadi. It's a different law. All methods of kiddushin were compared to each other. All, it says bi'atzeta, v'ayeta, Ishahed. And the rabbis learn over here that what? That all havayot, there's three ways to make kedushin. Kesef, shtar, bi'ah. Now kesef and shtar, you can do ayyadei shaliach. I give the money to a shaliach, I'll give it to that lady. I give the shtar to a shaliach. So since two out of the three can be done ayyadei shaliach, even though bi'ah can, and anyway, and therefore since those two can be done ayyadei shaliach, you can put conditions on those two. So even though bi'ah cannot be done ayyadei shaliach, throw it in the mix as well. So therefore, bi'ah also can be done ayyadei tonight, even though it cannot be done in Ayyadei Shaliach, because we compare all the three methods to each other. Also comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Ula Bar Abba Amar Ula Amar Bil Azar HaMekadesh Bimilveh. Okay, interesting case. What's a milveh? Let's say the lady owes the husband money. Okay, the lady owes the husband $1,000. He lent her $1,000. And now he comes, you know what it says? Milveh. Keep the loan. And with that money that I'm letting you keep, let that be the kiddushin. Okay, we'll see the deen over there. It is actually enamit kaddishet. What's the logic? Because a loan is given to be spent, and therefore, what do you give somebody a loan for? To hold it? It's not a collateral. Take the money. That $1,000 already is gone. She spent it, and therefore, when you're being mohela, you're not giving her anything new. It's not like she has the money there; she's getting that money. It's just a mihilah that she doesn't have to pay back. That's not considered giving kesef. That's not considered giving it. It's not existent at the time of the mihilah. So that's b'kadesh b'mavir. And then what happened? Uba'al. And then what? After, let's say, he had a bi'ah. And then after he had a bi'ah, which means he was mikadesh on the malveh, with the malveh, and then he was bo'ila. Or another case, al-tenai. He made a condition with her in the beginning, and uba'al, and then he went and had relations with her. Befachot meshaveh peruta. Or the case was talking about, let's say he married her, he gave her less than sheveh peruta, uba'al, and then he had bi'ad devrei akol, siricha emenu get. Oh, so what do you see over here? In all these cases over here, even though, let's take the case of tonight, which is the simplest case, right? Guy made it tonight. Okay? After he made it tonight, he had bi'ah with her. Right? And then he found out that she didn't fulfill his conditions over here. It says what? She needs a get. What's our understanding? That we say that at the time that he made the bi'ah, his kavanah is what? He wants to do a new thing. He wants to nullify what he did before, and he wants to make a new kiddushin. Oh, that goes against Rabba. You told me in that case over everybody holds that he's relying on his original tonight. So what are you talking about over here? How do you understand this? So that's arguing. That's it. That's arguing. Yeah. Right? This is Rav Ula Bar Abba's opinion over here. Mm-hmm. Now, the Gemara is not asking this as a question. The Gemara is just giving it as a statement very difficult to understand this statement because we don't know who's he going like. We didn't find yet a shita that can work this out over here. Which means, according to Abaye's way of understanding the machloket Rav and Shmuel, was exactly in a case like this, and he learned it was a machloket. And he's going and saying it's the v'rakol. According to Rabba, he learned also this case is the v'rakol and asirikaget. So it was a little still difficult to square this opinion off, meaning which one of the views is Rav Ula actually subscribing to, that he's saying the exact opposite of everything that we learned. It's the v'rakol, you're telling me, needs a get. Comes the Gemara and says, a different shita. Amar Rabbi Yosef, but Abba Amar Rabbi Menachem, Amar Rabbi Ami, HaMekadesh B'Fahot B'Shaveh Peruta. Okay, another case. There's cases now. A guy who's Mekadesh, a lady, B'Fahot B'Shaveh Peruta. Less than a Shaveh Peruta. Uba'al. Sericha Hemenu Get. So he needs a get. So the Gemara says, and what's the logic over here? Which means he's arguing on the other two cases. He says, listen, on the other two cases where he's Mekadesh B'Malveh, oh, he made it T'nai, and then he made it B'ah, he doesn't need a get. He's relying on what he said in the beginning, and therefore Mekadesh B'Malveh is no Kiddushin, or he made a condition and she didn't fulfill the condition, no Kiddushin. The case that it is a Kiddushin that he's going to need a get is the case of where he gives a Pachot M'Shaveh Peruta, and then he makes a Bi'ah. Why? So Gemara says, Bi'ahu de'lo ta'eh. He doesn't make a mistake on this, which means he has a suspicion when he gave Pachot M'Shaveh Peruta, I don't know if that worked over there. The guy's choshesh to that. The guy doesn't know the laws of Kiddushin. But if he has enough brains to be choshesh, that maybe less than a Shaveh Peruta didn't work. Therefore, when he makes Bi'ah, he wants to reactivate. He wants to do it with Shaveh Kiddushin. Masha'enkin, avad behanich ta'e. But in the case of Mekadesh B'Malveh, he doesn't know the laws. When he's Mekadesh B'Malveh, he doesn't know the laws. He thinks Mekadesh B'Malveh works. He has no idea. Watch me. He doesn't know all the Sivarot, Mekadesh B'Malveh, that the Tzmechila and all that. So he thinks it works. So then when he makes the Bi'ah, he's relying on what he said originally, which means according to Rabbi Yosef, but Abba is arguing on the opinion of Rav Ula. Rav Ula said three cases. Rav Yosef, but Abba, I agree with you on one out of the three cases. Which means, I'm sorry, I agree with you on two out of the three cases. Which means on the case of Mekadesh B'Malveh, and I'll tell you, in that case over there, the guy really thinks he's Mekudash. He doesn't know the law. Therefore, when he makes the Bi'ah subsequently, he's relying on what he did in the beginning. Then the rabbis come along and say, by the way, he did nothing. Mekadesh B'Malveh is nothing. No, but I made a Bi'ah after. Yeah, but you did your Bi'ah based on what you did originally. Therefore, no Kiddushin, no nothing. Same thing with the Tanai. He makes a condition, so he thinks that he wants that condition. And therefore, he's relying on it. After all, she got married to him. So therefore, it's also going to be in a Mekudesh. But he says, I agree to you in the case of Pachot M'Shaveh Peruta. Because a guy, he has a suspicion. He doesn't know for sure because he wouldn't have done it in the beginning. But he has a suspicion that maybe a Pachot M'Shaveh Peruta didn't work. So that when he makes a subsequent Bi'ah, we assume that he made a Bi'ah Neshim Kiddushin, and therefore he has to get a get. Comes the Gemara and gives another case. Amar Rav Kana Meshemeh De'ula HaMekadesh Al Tenai. Okay, Uba'al. That's right, this case we've been talking about till now. Mekadesh Al Tenai condition, and then he was Bo'el Setam Siricha Emenu Get. So according to him, he's understanding what? You need a get. This case came in front of the rabbis. Which means the rabbis couldn't know. They couldn't leave her without forcing her to give a get. Which means the rabbis mandated a get. So someone will learn from this language over there that the get is only midrabanan. She's really midoraita. She could say, listen, what do I need a get for? The guy was mekadesh al tanai. The tanai wasn't fulfilled, and see you later. But Achamim, they mandated as a medicine with Rabbanan, a get should be given. So it comes to Gemara and says, Le'apuke mehaitana, which means these rabbis over that said that she needs a get, is coming to exclude the following Tanah. The Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Ishmael. Okay, interesting case. We did this case several times already as we're learning. Vihi lo nitpasa. We're talking about a case over here where a lady's married, and what happens? She's married, and now she goes with another man. Okay, so it depends if she went against her will, or it depends if she went willingly. If she went against her will, so then already she's permissible to go back to her original husband. But if she went willingly, she's forbidden. And where we learned this from, the Torah says, "Vihi lo nitpasa," which means she wasn't taken. She wasn't taken into by force. She wasn't captured. I mean, she went willingly. Oh, vilonit pasa. Then already asura. Right? Then already she's forbidden to go back to the original husband. Oh, so the Gemara makes it the yuk. Hanit pasa muteret. But if she was taken by force, she's permissible to go to the original husband. So the Gemara says, "Veyesh lo lecha achere." But there's another lady. That even though she went willing with another man, muteret, she can go back to her original husband. And who's that? Veezu uzu she kedusha kedusha taut. That's talking about the case where the kedushin was kedushin taut, which means like this. Let's say a lady got married. Guy got married to the lady with a condition. Whatever condition he made, tells us, I'll make a condition to you, aminat, that you don't have any nidarim on you. And what happened? She ended up having nidarim. What's the deen? They're not married. Okay. Now, not only that, he was with her, they're living together, that baby. The Gemara says, afilu benam murkab al ketefa. They're walking around as a married couple. She's got a baby on her shoulders. And now what did she do? She went with somebody else. Willingly. Willingly. What's the deen? The deen is mema'enet ve'olechetla, which means technically she can go to her original husband and walk away without a get even. Yep. She doesn't even have to make a mi'un. This mema'enet language is love that she doesn't make no mi'un over. She's not married. Which means they're trying to say since the original marriage is not a marriage, so therefore she doesn't become a sutim. Which is technically if she went with somebody else willingly, she can go back to the original guy and walk. And therefore since she can walk, she's technically impermissible. To the original guy, she can marry him also because the kedushin was not a kedushin. So you have a case where it's really like a quasi marriage. It's really not a marriage. Kedushin taut. Nothing. And therefore, you have a case where a lady's living like a married lady, at least, just a baby and all that stuff. She goes with somebody else willingly, and the rabbis will tell her, you can go back to the original husband because she's not your husband. Because you're not married. Because you can walk away from the original husband. So that's a case where, think about what I'm saying, it's okay. Okay, now. Gentlemen, just as a sikum to this sugya, because this is the end of the sugya of tenais and stamps and all that, it's good just to get a comprehensive review of everything that was said here on the past daf and a half. Okay, we go. Basically, our starting point was one machloket of Rav and Shmuel. Mekadesh al tenai, vekansa stam. Let's review that, what that means. Mekadesh a lady al tenai, which means I'm marrying you al menat, you don't have nedarim. Okay, very nice. Right. And then what happened? You were kones her when you came to the consummation of this marriage. You didn't say anything. Okay, so we have a machlok of Rav and Shmuel. At least the way Abaye understands, he understood the cases like I just told it to you. It's Abaye, and he learns the machlok like this. Rav is going to say what you need a get. Why? Because Rav has a principle. In Adam bo'el be'ilato. A guy doesn't want his bi'az to be bi'az of znut. A guy will do anything to make his bi'az kosher, justified. Now, this guy over here, he made a condition, right? No nidarim. Now he makes a bi'ah with her. Now he's taking a risk. If she has nidarim, his bi'ah is going to be bi'az znut. So therefore, Rav understands what does the guy do when he's making his bi'ah? He's reset. He's giving her a bi'ah, l'shem kiddushin, even if she has nidarim. Oh, so that's why she needs a get. Where Shmuel comes on and says, no, the guy's always relying on his original item. His original item was, I don't want a darim. I made a bi'ah. Hey, listen, if she has a darim, so the bi'ah is loot. But so be it. But what? You do not need a get, because he's relying on the original. That's the way Rav understood, Abaye understood the machloket. Rava understood differently. Actually, Rabba, with a he. Rabba understood differently. Rabba said, no, in that case, everybody agrees, in a tzirich haget. Everybody else, when you make a condition originally, and then you kones stam, the guy's definitely relying on what he said from the beginning, and therefore if she ends up with nidarim, nothing was hal on it. Oh, so where's the mahalok din Rav and Shmuel? It's talking about a case where you had a lady, you made a nidir, right? You made a condition. I don't want to have any nidarim. Okay? He made the kiddushin, she had nidarim. So what did he do? He divorced her. Beautiful. Then he went back to the same lady, and married a stam. Oh, so now we have a machloket. Rav is going to say, like I just told you, what? Hey, listen, it's like, the way Rabbi understood, it's like two different ladies. Which means if a guy made a condition on one lady, no nidarim, and then the second lady, stam, what's one thing I do with the other? This lady, he wants no nidarim, this lady loves her, and he doesn't care. Masha'ekere kot Shmuel, he says, no. Kevan de gale gale. He revealed himself already. This guy showed us he doesn't like ladies with nedarim. So I don't care when he remarried this same lady, he didn't make any stipulations. You can rely on the original stipulation that he made. And therefore, if you find nedarim again, there's no kiddushin ovin. He does not need a get. Now, that's the first two ways. Then we saw the Bir Azar, which was a new way of learning over here, where he came along and said that Ben Rav, Ben Shemuel, when you have this case over here of Mikadesh a lady, Al Tanai, right? And then you Konesa Stam, everybody says you need a get. Okay, so that's already a third way of learning. And then the Gemara brought some other cases where we discuss, where let's say you have a case of Pahabash Peruta, a case of a Milve, and cases like that. So that's basically the structure of the sugya. Now the Gemara goes further. Tanur Banan. Okay, we have a Braita. Now remember we learned in our Mishnah, a guy marries a lady, and he marries on Minat that she does not have blemishes. Right? Then it's found out that she has blemishes. So what do we say? No good. Refund Kiddushin is out of Kiddushin. Similarly by Nedarim. Like we said, guys, Mekadesh lady, I'm not, there's no Nedarim. She finds that you find that he has said Nedarim. No Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, Tarur Banan. Halcha Etzel Hakam Vehetira Mekudeshet. Let's say the guy made it tonight. I don't want you to have any Nedarim. He made a Kiddushin. Found out she has Nedarim. Gemara gives a solution of it. Don't get divorced. Let her go to the rabbis. Let the rabbis absolve of the nedarim, and the kiddushin is going to be a kiddushin. It'll be hal. We'll see how. However, it's a rofe v'ripa ota ena mekudeshet. In the case of mum, I'm marrying you that you don't have any blemishes. Married her. Well, since she has blemishes, we're not going to tell her, go to a doctor now. Let the doctors repair your blemishes. It's too late. No kiddushin. It's not hal. So the Gemara asks, ma ben hacham de rofe? What's the difference between the hakam case and the going to the hakam and the doctor? Hakam oker et haneder meikaro, verofe eno merape ela mikan olaba, which is very good. Which means a doctor, he can only cure going forward. So bottom line, the guy's condition was not met. I made a kiddushin, I'm not, you don't have any mumin. You had mumin. When I make a vow, make a condition that you shouldn't have any nedarim, how does a neder get broken? The rabbi uproots the neder l'mafleya from retroactively. So therefore, at the time that I made the kiddushin, technically, now she doesn't have any nedarim. So therefore, the condition can be haas. So therefore, the kiddushin can be haas. So therefore, the hacham that's okay, the neder is l'mafleya. Mashiach and a doctor, it doesn't become a l'mas. Comes the Gemara and says, what do you mean? V'hatanya, we have a braita that says, etzel hacham v'hitira, etzel rofe v'ripa ota, ena mikudeshet. The Gemara doesn't make a hiluk. The Gemara says, whether she went to a hakam, even if she went to a hakam, or she went to a doctor to cure her, ena mikudeshet. Ah, what do you mean by it? I thought the doctor, I thought the rabbi is doing it retroactive. Retroactive, it should be okay. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abba, Lakashya. Ha, Rabbi Meir, ha, Rabbi Elazar. It's a machloket, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar. What's the machloket? Ha, Rabbi Meir, de Amar, Adam rotse. Which means a guy doesn't care if his wife becomes embarrassed or humiliated in betin. And therefore, in this case over here, listen, for her, for the kiddushin to be hot, what does she have to do? She's got to go to the rabbis now. She's got to sit in front of betin. She's got to get a veto or an absolvement on her in nedarim. It's embarrassing. Maybe he doesn't care. He doesn't mind that his wife gets embarrassed. It's a little embarrassing to him. His wife has to stand in front of Betin and get rid of Nidarim. He says, I'm not, that doesn't bother me. So therefore, he'll say that the Kiddushin is going to be a Kiddushin. She's, even though at the time that he married her, she had Nidarim on her. Mm. Right? But what? If you can get this off retroactively, the Bimu will say, I have no problem. Even though it's going to be a little embarrassing to just go in front of Acham, he does okay. He withstands that Mizayon. Mashiachin had a Bil Azar Damar. I doesn't want his wife to become humiliated in front of Betin or go in front of Betin. And therefore, you're right. Even though technically, halachically, you were okay with Mafreya. But when the guy married, the guy's kavanah was, I didn't want you to have the darim on you now, by the way. I didn't want you to get married and have to go in front of Betin and try to absolve it. I wanted it to be clean from the beginning. Because I'm not interested you go in front of a Beit Din now and start humiliating yourself. So therefore, according to Be'azah, it's not going to be a Kiddushim. Because even though retroactively, yeah, but he don't want, I don't want it retroactive. I want it to be clean from the start. Because even though you're right, it's retroactive, but there's a price you have to pay. She has to go in front of Beit Din, admit she made the debt. It's embarrassing for the guy. Right. I'm not interested in that. So that's the machloket. So therefore, according to the Bimeir, he'll say what? Nidarim, you can uproot retroactively to the husband's satisfaction, therefore the kiddushin will be a kiddushin. According to Bil Azar, it's never to the husband's satisfaction. Once already she has to go in front of a court, it's embarrassing, he wasn't in for that. He was in for the fact that she's not going to have Nidarim from the get-go. Now the Gemara wants to analyze over here the machloket between Rabbi El Azar and Rabbi Meir. Which means the machlok we just explained was, does a guy interested in having his wife go to Beit Din, right, it's going to be a little humiliating for him. So the Bimi Ir said, he don't care. Let her go in front of Beit Din, let her testify, it's not a problem. Where according to the Bil Azar, he said, no, a guy's not willing to go through that bizayon, that his wife should go in front of a Beit Din, have to testify to get the Nidarim off. That's what we saw machloket just now. Now the Gemara is going to try to find the source of that machloket. Okay? Now it's going to take us time to get to the source, but we just need to learn some introductions over here to get the case. So we start. Mayi, where do you see this machloket? Nitnan, Masikim Gittin. Hamotzi et eshto mishum neder. Okay, let's say a lady, she became a nedranit. He married her regular. All of a sudden, the lady, every time she's angry or something, she makes nedarim. It's very hard to live with a lady that keeps on making nedarim like this. So therefore, he divorces his wife because she's a nedranit, mishum neder. Lo yahzir. Interesting. He cannot take her back. Even if he's not a Kohen. Even if he's Israel, he's not allowed to take her back. Why? Mishum Shemra. Different case. Let's say he divorces his wife because of Shemra. Like there's rumors about her that she was not faithful. She committed zdut or something like that. Lo yahzir. Also cannot take her back. Now, what's the reason for these laws? Why can't you take her? Chawra, you divorced her. Okay, now you decide you want to take it back. What's the problem over here? So the issue is like this. Look at Rashi. Lo yahzir. Mefaresh b'masechet gittin, tre ta'ame ika. There's two reasons for this law. Leman de'amar mishum kilkula. One says, if you're going to take her back, or you let her get remarried to this guy again, it could lead to kilkul. It could lead to problems, big problems. What problems? Sheim ata omer yahzir shema telech v'tenase. Okay, let's say she's going to go marry somebody else. V'nimsa shemra she'eno shemra. And what's going to end up happening? The rumors become dispelled, which means they realize those rumors of zanut, it was only rumors, it was nothing. Or neder ne'ekar al yedei hacham. Or let's say a rabbi comes along and uproots the neder retroactively. And then what's going to end up happening? Umekalkela. And now she gets ruined. Why? Because the first husband is going to say, "Veze omer ilu aiti yodei ashekenu, afil notim li mi'am maneh." If I would have known this, even if they would give me 100 maneh, lo aiti migarshech, I wouldn't have divorced. And what's going to end up happening? Therefore, what? He wants to mevatel his girushin. So really, she's considered married. Now she went with somebody else. She had children. Those children are going to become now mamzerim. Again, a lady comes along, now watch, she becomes a nedranit. Let's take the neder case. Let's take one case, right? Nedranit. Divorce. Gemara says you cannot take her back. Why? Because if you're going to leave it open to take her back, what can happen? She went to the hakam in the interim. The rabbi was okay, the neder and the mafre. But in the interim, she got married. She moved on. She had children. Now all of a sudden the neder is okay, the guy says, hey, if I knew that the neder could be okay, I would never have divorced in the first place. So he wants to retroactively ruin his get. And therefore what? Now she got married to, she was married to the first guy still. She went to somebody else. She had a child. The child's a mamzer. So what does this help by telling the guy you cannot go back? Has that solved it so that she continues? Lefichach, omrim lo, heve yodaya. They tell the guy from the beginning, listen buddy, you got to know from now. No, it's over. And listen, if you love this lady, there's go slow. Because there's no backseat here. Once already you make your decision, which means when you're going to come along and say later on, oh, if I would have known this, I never would have divorced. You're not believed anymore. Because we told you in the beginning. Which means when you spell out the guy's options in the beginning, listen, you better go slow. You're not going to be able to take this lady back. So therefore, proceed with caution over here. Which means she might undo the neder. Don't divorce right away, which means know that you cannot take her back. But once he says, you know what, I don't care. Okay, so he forfeited his rights now. So he cannot come along and say at the end, let's say the neder was retroactively, hey, if I would have known, what do you mean, you know, we told you at the beginning to go slow. You didn't care. So therefore, you cannot undo this retro. So therefore, that's the logic of kilkul. Understand the kilkul logic? Mm-hmm. Or what's the second reason? It's knas. We don't want ladies just to now stop making the darim in their marriages. So we kanasa. How do we kanasa? Hey, listen. If a husband divorces a wife because of nedarim, you'll never go back to him. So therefore, she gets scared. She don't want to make nedarim or rumors and things like that. So therefore, it's kanasa on the lady. So those are the two reasons. Get the two reasons clear. Either kilkul or because of we don't want ladies to become nedranit. Now the Gemara says. Now we start the cases. Mm-hmm. So Tanakama says, lo yazir. Now we see some opinions that give some conditions here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol neder shiyad'u bo rabim, lo yazir. Depends what type of neder is it. There's a type of neder shiyad'u bo rabim. What's that case over there? She made the neder in front of 10 people. That's a case of a neder that is well known. And the Biuda holds that such a neder is, you cannot undo such a neder. Which means you cannot even go to a hacham and retroactively nullify such a neder. So in such a case, if the husband divorced her because of a neder that was done by Rabim, Rabbi Yehuda says, in that case we punished her. In that case we kanasta on it, because he learns that the pshat is kanas. And then when do we kanasta the girl? On a major nederim like that do not have hafara. However, lo yad'u barabim, meaning it's an item that was done, privately item, yazir, if he wants. Because why? Because you have hafara in such a case. So therefore, the Biuda's whole understanding is what's kanas. We don't want it to become perutza in nidarim. What type of nidarim do we want it to become perutza in nidarim that you can't break? In public vows. But in private vows, it's not a public item, you can undo it, that's okay. Again, Rabbi Yehuda understands the whole pshat is why we're doing this, we're punishing the lady. We don't want you to start making vows. What type of vows are we concerned about? Vows that are unbreakable, unable to make hafara. What's a vow, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's unable to make hafara? Neder of Rabbim. So she made a neder of Rabbim in front of the Rabbim, right? Husband said, I'm out. Get out of here. Can I take her back? Knasa. Regular neder that's able to be hafara, take her back. The Bibi Iromir, which means any vow that needs a rabbi's investigation, lo yahzir. Which means what type of vow is that? A vow that doesn't affect the husband. Which means we learned earlier, any vows that affect the husband, he can make hafara himself. For example, let's say she says something, I'm not going to eat meat. That already affects him, right? I'm not putting on the color of the garments. He don't got to go to a hakam. He already can do that himself. So any type of neder that needs hakirat hakam, that needs the rabbis, that's not between the husband and the wife, the that are stam nedarim outside the marriage, that you need hakirat hakam, lo yachzir. Then we say cannot go back. However, she'en osirik hakirat hakam, which the husband himself can make hafarat nedarim, yachzir. Now let's understand the logic on that. Rabbi Meir understands the logic is kilkul. Exactly. Rabbi Meir understands that what the whole reason why we did this over here, because we're concerned that the husband later on is going to say what? Hey, if I would have known, then I would never have divorced her. She got married to somebody else in the interim, and that was going to end up happening. You have a mamzerim. So according to this over here, what's going to be the logic? Which means like this. The husband cannot come later on in a case where, let's say, he could have made the hafara, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, he could have done it himself. So according to the Meir, what's the deen? V'she'enu sarik hakirat hakam. You don't need hakirat hakam, yahzir. Why? Because there's no claims over there. What's the whole sivara of the claims that the guy could have made? Right. The guy says, if I would have known, then I would have made I never would have divorced her in the first place over here. Yeah. But that's Shayach in a case where he has no idea. Yeah. For example, Hakirat Hakam. He's not so familiar with the laws of Hakirat Hakam, going to the rabbi, doing that. He comes, hey, I didn't know this law existed. If I would have known that I could go and, you know, go to the rabbi and stuff like that, then that case over there, you're worried about Kilkul. But I'm not worried about Kilkul in a case over there where he himself could have made the vow, because he would have done it at the time. I mean, he could make a hafara.
He didn't do it.
Right. You didn't do it, so therefore, he's not coming back. Well, if I would have known, if you would have known. So he'll never come to Kilkul, because the guy has the ability to do it himself. Right, there's no claim. He's not claiming anything. He'll do it himself. He'll do it. Comes to Gabran and says, last opinion, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Rabbi Lazar says, Echad Sarich ve'echad eno Sarich lo yazir. He comes along and says, whether it needs the Hakam or whether it doesn't need the Hakam, lo yazir, which means he's mahmir across the board. Whether it needs, whether it's a regular nid that the husband can break, or whether it's one that needs the rabbi, in all cases, lo yazir. Now comes the Gemara and says, like this, Rabbi Lazar, lo asru sarich, ela mipene she'eno sarich. What does this mean over here? Which means, lo asru sarich, in the case of Hakirat Hakam, why is it asur? Ela mipne she'eno sarich. Only they were osirat gezerat in the case of eno sarich, which means like this. In the case of a case where you need Hakirat Hakam, let's say to matir the neder, he cannot be mikalkel and say, if I would have known that the Hakam would be matir, I would not have done this. Why? Because, according to the Bilazar, he doesn't want his wife to be embarrassed. He would never say such a claim. Because according to the Bilazar, he does not want his wife embarrassed in front of Betin. Let's review. We're going according to Kilkul over here, yes?
Yes.
What happens? The guy gets married. Beautiful marriage is a full marriage. Doraita. What happens? She ends up having nedarim. Mm-hmm. Okay? So what does the Bilazar say? I don't care what type of nedar is this. Whether it's an nedar, he's the rabbi's nullification, or the husband's nullification, lo yazir, he cannot take her back. The Bilazar subscribes to the opinion of Kilkul. We're worried about Kilkul's situation. Now where, according to the Bilazar, is the Kilkul really going to happen? It's going to happen not in the case of the Hakam. Why? Because a guy will never come along and say, if I would have known that I could have went to the Hakam, I never would have got divorced, because that's not an option to go to a Hakam. He's embarrassed to go to the Hakam. He doesn't want his wife to become divorced. So therefore, since he holds, that's not an option, really, that case, he should be allowed to take her back, because there'll be no Kilkul. So he says that you're right, but I'm going to go there in that case, after the case where you're going to have a Kilkul. What's that case where he comes along and says, hey, listen, if I could have, I would have made the hafara myself. In that case over there, there's no embarrassment. He could do it himself. Privately. So therefore, in that case, that's the real case where we have to be concerned about, according to Bilazar. But he makes a gezerah on the case of personal vows, rabbinical ones that can be nullified, after the case where he nullifies it himself. Which means like this. The reason why they said lo yazir is because of a neder that doesn't need Hakirat Hakam. Because he can come to Kemikal Kele. He can come along and say, so if I would have known, I wouldn't have divorced. So therefore, because we have three shitot, you have Rabbi Yehuda, you have Rabbi Meir, and you have Rabbi Elazar. So right over here, you see in this Braita, right, you see the Braita over here, this Machloket over here, are you concerned about the Bezayon, or not concerned? The Bezayon, like we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow.